Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to Hacker Public Radio Community News for March 2013. Joining us today from the top are...
Dave Morris with a bit of a frog in his throat, sorry about that.
Not a problem, Dave. Myself, Ken Fallon.
Nido Media here.
Osama's just listening. And Urigami is also listening, from what I can tell. So that's it for now. First of all, as we always do, I'd like to welcome some new hosts to the show. And this month, we have had four new hosts: John Culp, Black Crow, Steve Bickle, and Christopher M. Hobbs. And I think that's very nice addition to the HPR community to have those guys come online. So I'd like to welcome all of you. Now, briefly, we do a quick show review of shows that have been on over the last month. And first up, after the community news, was John Culp with HPR 1197, What I Do with Bash Scripts. I find these immensely interesting. I would not go so far as to say, as he said, how that you might think it's boring for people to list bash scripts. I, in actual fact, do find bash scripting in audio very interesting. Anyone get a chance to listen to this?
Yes, I enjoyed that one. I thought John had done some fantastic work there. I was tempted to write to him, which I did, and just to say, great stuff, John. And we had a little chat about bash scripting. So yeah, I thought he'd done a great job, and I liked his presentation as well.
Yeah, very nice work there. I'd actually like to hear more detailed episode on LaTeX. It seems to be I don't have any experience with it, but all the documents I've seen out there on LaTeX are very, very clean, professional-looking documents. So if there's any LaTeX experts out there listening to the show, we'll should add that to the requested topics, if I remember. And when I say LaTeX expert, I'm also referring to LaTeX. Anybody who has any experience whatsoever is also fine.
This is why the people that use it pronounce it LaTeX.
Excellent. There we have a LaTeX expert on there.
I have used it quite a lot, actually, in the past. The university I used to work for used it as the method for students to produce reports for many, many years. So, it's all forgotten it all now, I'm afraid.
Well, it seems everybody in the back channel here seems to be saying that they've used it. So I expect a plethora of shows in the queue on LaTeX. Anyways, the following day, a welcome return to one of my favorite producers of audio drama, and that is Mr. Lost in Bronx, Theater of the Imagination 05. Discussing, among other things, M-Audio Fast Track, and basically a series of Internet Archive episodes and his favourite shows, much of which I will download and listen to. And as if this is as if like a bus, old-time radio shows, the following day we had episode 1199, Frank Bell with Old-Time Radio on the Web, another cacophony of links to his favorite old-time radio shows. It's actually fantastic. I like this sort of idea. I don't know if any of you guys have seen the Raspberry Pi hack, where a chap took a old an old radio and turned it into like a time machine. When you turned the dial, you could tune from radio shows from the Internet Archive, and you could go forward and back in time with the other dial.
Sounds cool, yeah.
It's a Raspberry Pi stuck inside it, and he just changed the two dials so that it was went to the various NBC or whatever, I don't know what the radio stations were on the main dial, and then as you turned the volume or one of the other buttons up and down, it would go from World War One shows World War II the whole way up. You know? World War I, I don't know about, but it was pretty awesome. Then we had Black Crow joining us with a what I think is going to be an excellent and very difficult subject, which would be computer jargon explained. Basic premise is he wishes to put up a website which will explain in clear terms, non-technical terms, what things like DNS are, for example. So if there's anyone there who is of interest, who has interest in helping along with this, get in touch with Black Crow. Details on the show notes. Steve Bickle joined us for first episode on What's in My Feed, and of course some classic webcomics, XKCD, Dilbert, and some other ones that I hadn't heard of. So he also went through some of the music shows that he listened to, and then went on to give us a tip on Secure Copy, which is one of my favorite applications. That and SSHFS.
I like, excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. I thought it was a great episode. I love the way he punctuated the sections with music. I think he said he'd recorded it in sections, and then he put little bits of music in between. I thought that was very professional.
Very well done.
Something to learn from.
Yes, puts my shows to shame, but I feel that my shows are setting the bar so low that anybody else can go above them. Anyway, the next day we had Dan the Man with the BC command, and finally somebody was able to bring some enlightenment as to what the BC command is and what it does, because it had eluded me for many years.
I've used it. I have used it, but the version I used had nowhere near as many features as the one Dan was describing. So, it's amazing. Astonishing thing.
I have even some scripts that use it, but mostly it's like copy and paste stuff. When I tried to read the man page, I just got completely and totally lost.
Yeah, heavy stuff.
The following day was a welcome return to one of my favorite podcasters, Chess Griffin, who I live in hope that he will return with Linux Reality Revisited. But that was a show called Templar, a static HTML generator written in Perl. Dave?
Yes. I listened. I looked. I haven't loaded it yet, but I'm going to go hunting that one. Looks good. And the guy who wrote it lives in Edinburgh, just where I do. So
does he now?
He does. He does. Yeah.
If only there was somebody who could walk down with a microphone and shove it in his face.
Well, you never know. You never know. I'll have to to see if I can find some way of doing that very thing. No promises, though.
Regardless, it was great to hear from Chess again. And this is, it's one of these, I think, 5150 type shows that I don't have any particular need for right now, but I suspect I may have in the future.
Yeah, it's the way I feel as well. I'd like to check out what he was telling us about, see what I can do with it.
And the next day was 12:04, My Magnitude Downloader by Mr. Dave Morris himself. And so tell us about this. Why you...
It's... I made notes on this. I wrote, seemed a bit, on reflection, seemed a bit weird and idiosyncratic. I just tend to write scripts to do bizarre things, just because I like doing it that way. But I'm not sure anybody else would see it quite the same way I do.
So, no, I was very impressed with this, and you basically described my approach. Well, my approach to it, everything you said was perfectly, made perfect logical sense to me. So well, I don't know what that says about us, Dave. But.
Well, yeah. I can't comment. But yeah, good. Well,
you are not alone.
Thanks very much.
I must say, I need to do a show on XML proc soon, and I've been using XSLT quite a lot in work, and beginning to enjoy it. So whenever I begin to enjoy something, I should really do a show on.
Yeah, it's a lot more powerful than you might imagine, isn't it? It's amazing things you can do with it.
Provided, of course, the XML is well-formed.
Indeed. This is another discovery I made along the way.
Yes, and a discovery that we also made when we were doing that download the linuxlink.net podcast download
too.
Oh yes, my god.
Yes.
By the way, if I'm not mistaken, the HTML tidy package, I think, would be able to fix up the HTML as most web browsers would render it the incomplete HTML. So that might just fix your problem with what you, with the XSLT proc and give you the ability to continue on.
Yeah, it's not so much that, but if they're missing required elements entirely, then there's not really a lot you can do.
I think maybe we should create a different episode about this and continue on with the episodes of the that has been.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Nido, can you give me a reminder, an email or something later on to discuss that? Because if you have tips on getting that linuxlink.net thing to work, to be able to parse through those files, that would be very, very advantageous. But as you say, we'll take it off. Anyway, 12:05, Talk Cheek to Me News for the news team is back. And it's great to see a very, very healthy community arising over there on the TGTM newscast. The next show was 12:06, Resolving Issues with the vhost config file. And contrary to what the guy says, I was not overturning tables that much during this show. It was interesting to hear people debugging virtual hosts. I've been there, I've done that, and learned a few things as we went.
Yeah, the whole Apache configuration file is really something you need to have seen a few times and seen it fail a few times before you really get what's going on in the way it's working.
Absolutely. Do you work with Apache a lot?
Yeah, we have a few servers at work which use it, and I have it on my my own server. So yeah, I know the configuration file quite well, actually.
That, folks, sounded very much like somebody volunteering to talk about Apache configurations.
If you'll be there to listen, sure, no problem.
You know, I'm always there to listen. Oh, actually, for a Saturday session, actually, good plan. I think the only thing that jumped out at me on that was the need to restart. I would tend to use the Apache control to restart it, but other than that, and to check the config as well. The next day was Icecast 101 by our good friend and fellow alien, Klaatu. And I will say to Klaatu why he hadn't this done before the New Year show is beyond me, because all this stuff I had to learn in a few hours before the HPR community news or the HPR New Year show. But it was a fantastic and nice episode, and I know I'll be going back to it. And the good news is it's part one of a series, so we'll get to hear and see if he has resolved some of the issues that I ran into and still have problems fixed for. Then we went into there was a request on the mailing list, a notification that there were quite a lot of people going to the Northeast Linux Fest, which was a Jonathan Nadeau extravaganza and held in Harvard University around Paddy's weekend. And we had a series of shows bumped to the top of the queue for that. And it was interesting for me to see how the new queuing logic system was working during this whole thing. Anyone have any comments to say on this?
Well, from my point of view, congratulations to NY Bill and Pokey for the work they did. Having tried to do an interview recently, which I think I failed at, I very much appreciate the work they must have put in there. Fair bit of sweat and tears getting all that lot done, I think.
I particularly have noted with interest the concept of a Ken Fallon-style interview.
Yes.
But I did love their interview with John Maddock Hall, and I know Pokey has said it 100 times, but I could just listen to that guy talk over and over and over and over again. I'd never get tired of hearing him talk.
No, I agree.
And they seem to have had a fantastic booth. There were, 4, 5, maybe 6 different HPR people on the booth?
Yeah, impressive.
Very and absolutely no organization for me. So this to me is proof of the health of HPR at the minute, that you know people pick up stuff and just go and do it, and you know organize the banners and organize the things to be sent from one place to the next. They organized to have a new recorder available. That's just recently been added to the kit. They've got a different banners. They've got the tablecloth. They've got the printed off QR codes, and apparently stickers. Although I did not see any of the stickers, but I would like to have. And I felt that the coverage they got from it, I really got a feel like you were kind of there and experiencing it. Something like I hoped that my coverage of OGCamp was trying to do, at least. I definitely got the feel that I was there on the booth with the guys. And the following day we had Becky doing the Talk Geek to Me news. And then after that we had Dan with Units Command, something that I had never seen before.
I'd seen it, but I'd never quite got my head around it. As you said with BC, it's one of those things that you look at the man page and go, oh, hell, and close it up and go away, which is what I did. But yeah, Dan opened up the doors there a wee bit for me. So
yeah, I'm a bit...
Go ahead.
I'm a bit concerned by... he gave quite a lot of warnings that it seems to have its own esoterical type of command layout.
Did you look at the config file that Dan mentioned?
No.
It's got more units in there than you ever thought existed in the world. It's just astonishing. Yes, yeah. I didn't know there was a barn and a shed units in physics. Yeah, apparently okay. In physics. Don't know what the hell they are, but they do exist.
Okay. Gobsmacked. I am going to... by the way, just as a reminder for people, again, just if you're new to HPR, the Linux link... linuxinTheShell.org. If you go to the website, we only include the first little segment of the blog post, and there's a complete worked-out blog post, so if you find it easier to read, he has a complete worked out blog post, and he's also got videos where he walks through screencasts of everything that he does. I would strongly advise people to look at all of these. I tend to bunch them up and watch them in a go. This month I've been quite busy at work, so I haven't had a chance to view them yet, but I'll get to it. Then we had Mr. David Whitman, who's been unable to join us today, with an interview about Linux Fest Northwest, an interview with Jacob Perry. And just so you know, it is to be held on April 27th and 28th. It's also on our events roundup in the show notes for this episode, so go and check that one out. And we will also be covering some of these in next month's show, but I just want to make a special mention of Christopher Hobbs, Pair Programming, which was a whirlwind introduction to pair programming, its benefits, hurdles, and practices. And just, if you haven't heard us, this has absolutely nothing to do with Perl. Well, it could have, but it has nothing to do with Fruit. That is any... nor does it have anything to do with the... I think there was some sort of compiler, or am I mixing that up with Parrot? Dave, help me out.
Are you thinking of Pear in PHP or something?
Yes, that's the one. Thank you. But it's actually to do with coding in Teams, so quite an interesting episode. But we'll discuss that now next month, so that everybody on the call has a chance to listen to the episodes. Okay, that was it. So basically, there's a few announcements that I want to make about. It's been very busy month on the mailing list. Normally, it's like a reminder that you're part of the mailing list, but this month it's been all drama. It's been like a soap opera by times. Now, I made the mention earlier that the I made the mention of, first before I go on. Nito has just said that next week the Saturday session isn't going ahead, or he's not available for it. So, but I think that dude man has something planned. But anyway, I just want to say that I this month has been a lot of test cases for the new scheduling rules. And for those that don't know what the new scheduling rules are, they basically are reserve shows, then schedule slots, and then it works out shows with the longest release date. So what happened this month is there was the Northeast Linux Fest. We had a lot of hosts there, and they had the opportunity to interview a lot of people. So for two reasons, we have agreed on the mailing list. There was quite a long discussion previously about that, where if somebody is going, taking the time to go to a show and represent HPR out of their own pocket, then they should get reserved a block of five shows within 2 weeks of the event happening. And I think that worked out fantastically well. The HPR coverage was out before most of the other shows had a chance to comment on the Northeast Linux Fest. So I think we achieved that goal. And anybody who was interviewed during the process of that has had the chance to, you know, join HPR and hear their episode being released and talked about, and that the enthusiasm hasn't waned, and perhaps we'll get some shows as a result of that. And I also think it really gave us the feel of, yeah, this is what one part of our community is doing, and that kind of worked out well. What it did do was it pushed the Talk Geek to Me News show, which would normally come out on a Friday, onto the following Tuesday, which pushed down Linux in the Shell. And then we had a request from Dave Whitman, who had put he had an interview as well, heads up about the Linux Fest Northwest show, which he notified the mailing list, and nobody objected to it. And that came out on 12/14. And then the following day was a new host, and that was Christopher M. Hobbs, who had been waiting quite a while. So thanks for your patience there, Christopher. But I think it works out quite well, because it's keeping things nice and spicy. But one thing that does concern me is that the 5150 had a lot of shows in there that were kind of morally submitted under the old rules, if you know what I mean. And that would be, you know, whoever submitted a show first would get a show, and then, you know, at least one show a week until their shows are used up. So I will beg your forgiveness of people if I put out some of 5150 shows ahead of other people's, just so we can get those cleared out. We also have quite a few shows from Ahuka, but I have his permission to let those dribble out over the summer when he might be away doing something else. So they will come out naturally, but I just really want to address 5150 shows, because it has been concerning me over the last month that that an injustice may have been done. This month made some significant changes to the README file. It's up to version 9 now. And I also introduced a sample show notes page, which is in HTML, which cleverly introduces some things like show title, priority, episode tag, explicit, a short summary for Twitter, and stuff like that, none of which are supported by the database. So, yes, as we go along, we will see how we'll support those in the back end. But don't be afraid to put them in now, and we will retrofit them into the system at the end. But it was kind of good for me to be able to you know, write down on a sample show note page what I would like to see, and going forward what we need, and what we wouldn't want to support in an upload form, for instance. And then obviously if we have it in an upload form, we need to support it in a database or some form of storage in the back end. Some things that have been added to the show notes has been, if you can add your host ID and you'll find your host ID on the contribute page. And if you just prefix, it's -30, and then so I will go 30_KenFallon_blah blah 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 show about blah dot flac for FLAC, and then my show notes will be exactly the same file name .html. And what really, really helps is what is helping me a lot is the people who are adding tags using something like KID3 to their FLAC when they export it. You can also add them in Audacity. And the exact format of the tags is correct, is laid out there. You don't need to put the quotes in, just the title will be whatever you call your show. The album will be Hacker Public Radio without the quotes. The artist is your handle, and the genre is podcast. And the comment is should start with http://hackerpublicradio.org, and then whatever show notes you want to put in or not, it's up to you. And doing that has really saved me a lot of time. I'm currently using KID3, but Dave, I want to use your tool for extracting the FLAC, the tags from FLAC, and dumping them into WAV, OGG, and Speaks. Actually, can you just make that happen?
I think so, yeah. The tool I gave you is tailored for my needs. So what you want is something a bit more generic, so we can come up with something, sure. Yeah, no problem.
Cool. Because I think we're very close now to doing a lot of the automation that we have discussed at length on the dev mailing list and before. Having the files like this and doing the workflow manually, I know we had a very long episode, Dave and I had a long episode about this, and doing the workflow manually is the bits that need to be automated are being highlighted, and other stuff is not proving as important. For example, the release, reserved by release date or reserved by show number. It's kind of more important to know that they're being reserved for some reason. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Some changes have been made to the back office, which has greatly helped me out, and that is the website and feeds are now being released at midnight. It was midnight PST, which is -8 hours, and due to never-ending nagging complaining from people at Scotland.
Mentioning no names, of course, yes.
Mentioning no names whatsoever. It is now released at UTC, at least the last show has been. So if you notice anything strange, that should still, that will actually benefit me, because then I'll get the shows in the morning as well. And it should hopefully still provide 5150 with his on time schedule for his podcatcher. And it's also helped me quite a lot, because it means that I can publish the show in the evening, last thing, you know, on the train going home. And then I don't need to worry about it at night. And if there are shows that are queued up, like this month, I was able to put 4 shows in the queue on Tuesday, and they just came out every day until Friday. And then I didn't have the constant, you know, pressure to release at a particular time, and I can't release early, and tomorrow I need to do something else. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah, that's great.
Then NMyBill has a site with pictures from the Northeast Linux Fest, which includes, among other things, something I haven't seen in a long time, which is a pint of juicy Guinness. Ah, yes. There was a lot of, on the mailing list, there was a lot of discussions about Northeast Linux Fest, getting stuff ready. And I heard on other podcasts that there was, that we won the prize for having the best sticker collection. So if some of the guys have taken photos of some of the stickers or have sample of the new stickers, because I don't have those. I have the oval stickers, but if you have any other stickers, could you send me your samples? Because I need to get some printed out for here on this side. And as far as I know, the booth kit is scheduled to go to the Northeast Linux Fest Northwest. If anybody else is going to an event between now and then, please get in touch. And that is on April the 27th and 28th. So if you have a fest before the 27th and 28th, can you please get in touch with David Whitman? Links in the show notes. And if you're putting on, if you're going to another event, the OCP Live, I have no idea what that is. Their show, their website appears to be ocplive.com, and they say it's going to be in May and have no mention of venue, date, location, place, nothing. Not even what continent it's on. So, but anyway, if you are going to an event representing HPR or not, or whether you're going at a table or not, please get in touch and we'll add it to the list. Okay, during one of the discussions about the North Sea Linux Fest, a discussion came up about the fact that our mailing list archiver is broken, and I just realized that is the second time somebody has mentioned that they will go to the mail list archiver, and ours is frozen in time. So on that list, on that post, on that IRC channel, there was a discussion about of gmain.org, which is a free site, a free open site to archive mailing lists. And I've seen it before, and it allows people to go back and look at the history. So I think it's actually perfect, because then it's one less thing that I need to worry about. I'll set it up, set it and forget it, type thing. And we can also import older messages, and hopefully I should be able to go through my own mailbox and import the missing messages into that service. So unless anybody has any objection soon, that's, we're going ahead and doing that. Just giving you a heads up on the mailing list, nobody seemed to mind anyway. And bear in mind that it was always the intention that the mailing lists be public. Then there was a massive discussion about what is a hacker, and I hope, Nido, that you have resolved that issue for us.
We have discussed about it at length. That's that's true for sure. However, if you're looking for like a dictionary definition of what is a hacker, then I suggest you just find yourself a dictionary, because, well, that's also put into the show. It was an interesting experience, not really what we were hoping for, but interesting nonetheless. It will be released soon, I believe.
Yes, look at the calendar.php and you will see when it's scheduled. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with the schedule the way it is? But to me, you're a hacker in the terms of topic of interest hackers. In terms of this network, hacker is somebody who has clicked the link to bring them to hackerpublicradio.org. So that is the definition we are working on.
Ah, yes, we have discussed that as well. And we've included a link which has some interesting characteristics. You've implemented some algorithms which would calculate whether or not you are a hacker. You could check the show and there's some link, and if you go there, then you know the answer. So it's quite easy, actually.
Cool. It took a lot of work to put that together, I can assure you. Right. David is David Whitman, that is going to Linux Fest Northwest, as has been said many, many times in this episode. So he asked if I had a up-to-date presentation that I had done, I think, 2 years ago now for OGCamp, and I went through and updated that. And if you bear with me for a few moments, I will go through the parts of that has changed since we discussed it last. I am looking for there was talk of a presentation software, I think Door-to-Door Geek mentioned it, that was JavaScript or something. And ideally, I would like to have this presentation that it is at least regularly updated via cron or something at the end of each month, or, you know, that the hours, minutes and seconds are updated and the number of shows are updated automatically, so that quite a lot of this stuff wouldn't need to be done manually. But there we go. So the first part of the show is, our first part of the presentation is that we have changed the logos. The first page is the new banner from RF Quirin, which is the community podcast, sharing your ideas, projects, and opinions, new episode every weekday. Then we have the Linux Format Magazine. And if you have any screenshots or photos of where Hacker Public Radio has been seen in print on brochures or something like that, I would appreciate it if you could take a photo of it or a scan and send them to me. That would be great. Hacker Public Radio is a community network, yada, yada, yada. Nothing changed there. What has changed is that we're now live 7 years, 6 months, and 22 days from when Today with a Techie started on Monday, October the 10th, 2005, and our rebranding occurred on the December the 31st, 2007. So 7 years, 6 months, and 22 days, which brings us a total of 1,514 episodes when this will be presented. And that's 300 Today with Techie shows and 1,214 HPR shows. Which brings us to a total of 25 days, 22 hours and 30 minutes of continuous play, which is approximately 498 audio CDs. And if you want to be the people who throws over the 500 audio CD mark, then you know you can submit a show here to Hacker Public Radio. Average show length is 25 minutes 34 seconds, and there are 23 gigabytes of MP3 storage, and we have pushed 35 terabytes of bandwidth. Now, the monthly downloads is an interesting statistic, which I'll get on to later, but for now I'll just give you the numbers. We have, best approximation, 16,090 daily subscribers and 79,640 monthly downloads. So there's quite a significant number of people who check the feed and then download manually. We have updated the, there are 240 show hosts and 260 shows a year, 178 free slots and 18 in the queue. And other than that, the rest is more or less a rundown on how you can contribute and hasn't changed. Links to the PDF and ODP are available in the show notes for this episode. I've been asked by David again for, he wants to produce a coffee cup, which I hope he will send us photos of, which would include the HPR logo, the BinRev logo, and the Lunar Pages logo for use at the booth as he drinks coffee on the HPR booth. So if you are interested, give him a shout. And if you have good quality logos, we have the SVG logo was requested by him and also requested by Philip Newbury, who is known more commonly as Core Nominal, the husband and romantic partner this weekend of Bobo Bex, and who is a member of the Talk Geek to Me news team. And he is developing an Android app for Hacker Public Radio, which will be released under a free license, or so he says. And we look forward to that. It should include a record show now button, which will be fantastic to see. And we have a requested topics page, which I don't think we've been pushing enough. I want to move it over. It's currently part of the contribute page. It will be having its own page, and I want people to be conveniently able to submit requested topics. So feel free as well to, if you have an idea and you're on Identica, you can, or Twitter, you can send us to the tag HPR and it will get to me with your requested topic. And when they put in there, I know Nido, you requested a few topics recently.
Yeah, I've added some things to the list, and well, if I'm totally honest, the shows which I consider the best are the ones about topics which I haven't even heard about before. So my favorite topic is anything not on any of those or those lists.
Excellent. Excellently put, sir. Excellently put. However, I have had a lot of people go, well, I don't know what to talk about. And if you don't, go to the requested topics list. Otherwise, drop me an email, please. And we can have a mumble chat about whatever. And I guarantee you, I'll give you a list of 10 to 20 topics that on something that you know about that the rest of us don't. Just one thing, Nido, seeing as you're online, the two of the topics that you requested have been covered, but that I still see that as not a reason to take them out of there. So as we get the tagging and stuff going, I want to add the shows that have already been done on that and do some niceness. But more on that later. Dude Man was on the mailing list, coming with part two of I Love Food, Good Food. How did that go ahead? Or didn't seem to... It was supposed to be today and also next week, April the 6th, on our regular Saturday session, which is recorded just before this session.
Yes, we had no recording today because of some problems regarding. I'm not really sure because I can't reach him, but please just try to go on next week, see what will happen. That was more or less my idea with the Saturday sessions. There's this designated time at which you should go to the HP Art Room. If you have something you want to talk about, or if you just want to record a show but you don't know how, and hopefully there will be somebody around who can help you do it. I won't be available next week, which is April 6th, because I have other engagements. But I'll be there the week after that. But still, if you want to do something on the 6th, don't hesitate to use the time. Just go there and record.
And there's a countdown timer, which needs a little bit of work, on the main page. So you'll always know when the next show has been recorded, yeah?
Correct.
No excuses, folks. No excuses. The search was removed. There's a whole series of stuff I want to talk about now. And the search was removed because I've been looking in the log file quite a lot and looking at what's happening on the websites. And it turns out that people were attempting to use the search for naughty things. So that was quickly removed. And quite a lot of the other forms have been restricted to predictable input. So, for example, on the host page, we would predict that you would be a host from an integer at least, and a series ID and stuff like that. So it makes it easier to predict what's coming in there, so we're not accepting any old stuff from the internet. That has resulted in certain people being added to a deny list, and that was put to the mailing list. If somebody does want to help Hacker Public Radio out from the point of view of securing the website, then we can put up a location for you to access it and do security testing, and you can even check the code out. That's not an issue. If you are just randomly attacking us for the sake of attacking us, then that is using resources according to the Duke guys, and that is not considered cool. So we have added you to a deny list, and you will see a message coming up suggesting that you should contact me to discuss that. But I suspect quite a lot of people are just, it's just an automated script that's going around, because I see the same IP addresses, I see it from the same IP addresses, trying the same thing over and over again. So that was that. As part of that security tightening, the search option was removed, and it was requested to have a search option. So I quickly added a Google search to the top of the page, which resulted in a some feedback from some members of the community who did not like the idea of having a search page on the top of the page. So then a DuckDuckGo was added, and that led to some other members of the community saying that DuckDuckGo had not, that there were privacy implications with Google, and that we had nothing to say that DuckDuckGo was any better, and we only had their word for it, and they haven't contributed code to the community. So what I ended up doing was the search is now on the side. There's a search page, and when you go to the search page, you can choose whichever search engine you use. And when we get our own internal search solution worked out, even if that's a hashtag, then a tag cloud, which was a 5150 said was the I gotta remember some very funny comment about the garbage at the side of the road of the information superhighway. which I thought was quite amusing. But as we make that become available, we are looking at some solutions to sanitizing input. And if they prove to be safe, manageable, and secure, in double quotes, then we might implement that for the comments as well and get rid of the current comment system which we have. Which brings me to the point that it is very difficult to filter regular input coming in. So as part of the tightening up of stuff, we have moved the FTP server from a page that was available on the web server to somewhere internally that is not served by the web server. So therefore, that prevents anybody who has access to the FTP site from putting up a web page that would take it, that could be used for a cross-site scripting attack. And I think it's testament to our community that nobody has exploited that feature, and we should applaud them for that. But as a side effect of that, and also the fact that the shows are now being processed in an automated fashion by the VPS, which is currently my machine, but will be the VPS, the shows are not put public anymore. They're being taken off the FTP server, processed, and then put back also to a a page that isn't been served. And the reasons for this is, we were getting quite a lot of 404 hits on those. In fact, 75% more 404s on the shows that were in the queue over the shows that were actually published. So those have been removed. We did have a request from Dudeman to make those shows available prior to the scheduling, so that as shows become available, that they are immediately dumped out onto a feed. And it is the plan, and there exists code to put gomax equals one, and that will remove the limitations on the RSS feed. So it will give you everything regardless of what time it is. So right now, the shows are limited to the UTC time. Bear in mind, if you do use that option, and I am publishing shows and I make updates or anything prior, those are considered volatile shows. So it is on your, with great power comes great responsibility. So if you do use that option when it becomes available, bear in mind that all those shows that are not released yet will and can and may come down several times to your feed. So it is up to you to live with the consequences of that. But that's in the feed. And some other things I wanted to just give you a heads up about, things that are currently being worked on, and if you wish to offer support, some help on them, we would appreciate that. The automation of the presentation. If you have Nido, what was that? JavaScript presentation. Tool, yes. Okay, if there's a way to produce a presentation, either HTML or whatever, automatically, if somebody has experience in that, that would be nice. The attempts to secure the website continues, and the search options will also be, the investigations will also continue. I have started taken some shots for a HPR introductory video, which I might get a chance to put together at some point. And the show notes are the predecessor to an upload form, which is which we kind of need to get working. We also need to get the Atom feed working as well. And we also need to get Opus support working. So if we could get some feedback on people about what needs to happen for Opus support. Bear in mind, though, that we would then need to see what the implications would be with regard to storing 25 gigabytes of additional files on the server. So we'd have to go back and transcode everything again. Okay. Dave, we've been talking about the show getting the tags from the FLAC file and transferring them to the org MP3 and speaks. That would be really handy if we could include that into my HPR transcode script.
Sure, yeah. I think I can get you something together in the next sort of week or two, that sort of time scale.
That's not critical. I think you are working on something even more important for us.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about scheduling offline perhaps, but yeah, whatever.
No.
Say the word.
Actually, I was more thinking about the fixing the broken links and the database that I just sent you this morning.
Oh, yes. I had a little play with that, by the way, and I've got some ideas that we perhaps need to discuss. But yeah, looks doable.
Cool. As part of that, I want to change the... I need to add support within the database for a Twitter Identica feed, and then that needs to be added to the CMS thing that I use to post the shows, plus it also needs to be added to the index pages and the RSS feeds to make sure that that's added at the top, and then the feeds for the feeds Identica and Twitter need to be updated to just use that feed. And we also need somebody who has familiarity with working with Amazon Cloud to contact me, because there is a Amazon Cloud-like tool for uploading to archive.org, and I would very much like help with that and how to get that working. And that's pretty much what's going on the list. There is one thing that I'm thinking about now, because we've done so much work on the that has been needed to secure the main website. I'm just thinking, would it be simpler to go a clean HTML5 CSS3 solution to the website, and just pick a generic theme rather than also having the exposure of having a WordPress blog on top. I'm open to opinions. Well, we can discuss this on the mailing list, I guess. Okay, moving on. Events. Upcoming events. Linux Fest Northwest 2013. Bellingham, Washington, is it? WA? Anyone? All the Americans are going, what the hell? These foreigners, they know nothing about geography. April the 27th, 28th, contact David Whitman for all more information. And that pretty much brings me to the end of the show, except to say that there are 22 shows in the queue from 7 hosts. 175 slots are needed to fill this year. So if you can contribute, please do so by going to hackerpublicradio.org and follow the links to the contribute page. And with that, I'll say it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Oh, sorry about that. Goodbye from me too.
And tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker Public Radio.
Good night, all.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.